Previously on Raising Rents.
In my home care agency, we get calls from stressed out adult kids all the time who are looking for home care, but either don't know anything about it or they were just told that they need it by a discharge care planner in a hospital, and they don't have a whole lot of time to get this care in place. Unfortunately, at some point, living alone may no longer be an option. I highly recommend researching what your state does when it comes to regulating home care agencies and aides. I would do it in advance so that you can be ready if and when you're going to need them. It will reduce your stress and it will help you make a better decision. I would make sure that when the agency representative is talking, that they're also talking to your parent. This is about them and they should feel like they're making the decision as well. In this episode, we're going to cover things like what questions you should be asking a home care agency before you hire them, and what are the next steps once you do hire a home care agency. What are the different types of options for shifts, including 24/7 or live-ins, and how to protect your family when aides come visit their home. What are some of the home care costs, and what are the pros and cons of hiring a caregiver privately?
Hello, rents.
That's Anastasia. She's my 22-year-old daughter. My wife, Phyllis, and I think we did a pretty decent job of raising her. She goes around and calls us rents. But you know what? I'm all right with that, because one day she's going to be raising us. And just wait and see what I'm going to be calling her. My name is Zach Demopoulos. I'm your host, and welcome to the Raising Rents podcast. This show is sponsored by Comfort Care, a national home care provider that will help you live your best life possible. This is part two of day 17 of the 30-day preparation plan to care for an aging parent. The prep plan is all about helping you, the family caregiver, provide your loved one with the best, comfortable, and safest and most efficient caring environment in which they can grow old in. The topic we continue with today is home care, one option for long-term care. If you've not had a chance to listen to day 1 through 16, please go back to season 1 and check out these episodes. Also in season 1, we introduced the 9 beginner steps in raising your parents. We also discussed on the episode that was day 14, how your parents can age in place, what to consider so they can live at home independently as they grow older in a safe environment with dignity. Be sure to check out that show if you haven't already done so. I have links to all these episodes in the show notes on our website. So now, you've done your initial research and you have a few home care agencies that you want to ask questions. Now, as for the questions that you should be asking agencies, there are a lot of examples out there, and I will have them listed in the show notes and provide you a link where you can even download and print questions out. But let me go through just some basic ones that I'm going to ask. Again, these could become a little overwhelming for you. I'm just going through a variety, some examples, and you can just print a lot of these out and also refer to them in the show notes. So don't be writing these down. Just listen and get a good sense of what you should be asking. So first of all, you should make sure you find out what kind of agency are they. Are their aides employees of the agency? In other words, are they W-2s? Or are they independent contractors and they have 1099s? And why is this important? Well, if they are employees, then the agency is responsible for this aide in almost all aspects of the service. They will pay them. They will take out the appropriate taxes, Social Security, take care of workers' compensation. They will be responsible for them in terms of any injuries or theft. They'll be bonded and insured. They are responsible for the aide. They are their boss, and you're hiring the agency to manage the aides. If they are contractors, it's a different story. That means that the agency really is acting as a recruiter or as a placement agency, and they will most likely charge you a fee, and they will use that as compensation coming from you to them. And you need to understand that, because if you're the employer, and you need to check with your state laws about this, you very well could be responsible for the taxes, for Social Security, for workers' compensation. And if you are under the impression that the agency is doing that and they didn't do it, and you didn't do it, you can get into trouble for that. So you have to have a good understanding of what the agency structure is like. Are the AIDS employees, and who's responsible for some of the things that I listed? You also need to find out, are they licensed? What kind of insurances do they cover? Are they bonded? Most states require this. I wouldn't put anyone in my house if they weren't, to be honest with you, licensed, insured, or bonded. Will they provide you references? And if you do get them, call them. And ask for two examples. Ask for an actual client and ask one for a client's family member. What are the office hours? Are they truly 24/7? We already talked about this, but let's go a little further. If you do call after hours, is there a voicemail? Is there an on-call service? How quick will you get a call back? And, you know, sometimes it doesn't hurt to test them. I always tell a family member when I meet him for the first time, test me. Call me after hours anytime. Now, if you call me at 3 a.m., I'll probably pick up, but man, I hope you're calling for a good reason. But I always will tell somebody to test me just to make sure that they're confident that I am 24/7. Is there a nurse on staff? Many states require that a nurse does supervise an aide, and that way you know that you are getting the best care possible. Though the nurse doesn't provide any skilled nursing for your parent, they are creating a care plan for your parent that the aide will follow, and that they will supervise it and follow up on it and instruct the aides on how to conduct their job. Are the aides certified or licensed? And if they are certified, how do they get certified? And what is the hiring process when they hire an aide? What's the training program? What is their follow-up once they place an aide in your parents' home? Do they make unannounced visits, and when can you expect these? What are the costs? Is there a charge for the nurse? Are there additional costs beyond the hourly rate? Is there a night or weekend special rate? What about holidays? Is a deposit required, and how does that work? Is there a minimum hourly commitment per shift per week? What is the cancellation policy? When are you billed? Do you take insurances? Usually, most agencies do not take any typical regular medical insurance. They take long-term care insurance, and typically, Medicare doesn't cover this type of service. Medicaid does, but only some agencies take Medicaid, others don't. Medicare in 2019, though, has announced that under the Medicare supplemental plans, they will be able to cover some home care. So that's exciting and something to be looking for and making sure that you have some knowledge about that, and also advise your parents about that, and maybe seek some expert advice on it from an insurance broker to take advantage of paying for home care through some of the Medicare supplemental plans. Also, with an agency, you should ask for a copy of a written agreement so you can read it in advance. Some of these tend to be lengthy. Now, most of them are there to protect the consumer, but you want to make sure that you understand what's written in there and what you or your parent is signing. Also ask, can you meet the aide in advance? And what is the process if it's not working out with the aide? What do they do if an aide can't make it to their shift? And how do they go about replacing an aide if they're ill or if they go on vacation? By the way, I always ask a family to at least give an aide two shifts. Give them a chance, because especially with a family that has not ever used an aide before, it's tough to get used to having somebody coming into your home. And I have seen many cases where on the first day, the parent might be saying, you know, this may not work out. But after the second, third, fourth visit, they become quite compatible. The chemistry is good and things work out. I have to say, in the 10 years that I've been doing this, probably under 1% have I ever been asked if they can change out the aide. Now, I'm not just saying that because I'm that good. I'm just saying that because this is a process and it takes time. We don't just pick an aide right off the bus. we really make sure that we have an understanding of the needs. We make sure that the family has taken their time to do their research and evaluate and make sure that we've done our evaluation and required information has been obtained so that we can make the right decisions. All right. So once you've made a decision to go with an agency, what are the next steps? Well, typically, and again, depending on your state, a nurse assessment is required, especially if you're using a long-term care insurance plan. A nurse assessment will be required. And what that means is a nurse will come in and ask questions about medical history. You'll want to be there for that just in case. Sometimes a parent might omit some of the information, and you just want to make sure that you're there overseeing this process. It could last anywhere from a half hour to an hour and a half. This information is very important so that the nurse can create a care plan, and the care plan is what the aide will be instructed and required to follow. As I said before, the information that the nurse assessment pulls together is useful to the agency so that we can pick and match the right aide based on their experience, based on the chemistry, based on their skills. We can match the right aide to your parents' needs. You don't want an agency telling you, oh, don't worry, we have plenty of aides, and we'll be able to send an aide here tomorrow and not even get any information from you. They're just randomly selecting aides, and that could be a recipe for disaster. Typically, you can find aides to do pretty much any kind of shift you need, whether it's just for a few hours during the day once a week, or many days during a week, or every day during the week, or it could be overnight assistance, it could be weekend help, it could be around the clock 24/7, or it could be someone who lives with your parent. Now, there's a big difference between living with your parent and working and 24/7. 24/7 literally means you have an aide or many aides coming through the house through the week, 7 days a week. They don't sleep, they're awake, and they are caring for your parent. In these situations, it usually means that a parent is unsafe, getting up in the middle of the night, going to the bathroom, and they need supervision, or they're bedbound and they need to be turned to avoid bed sores. I mean, there are some specific reasons why you'd want 24/7. A live-in, just to make sure you understand the difference, is someone who actually lives in the home, and though they are there 24/7, doesn't mean that they're working 24/7. Live-in is usually much more affordable than 24/7, because if you think about it, 24/7 is 168 hours a week, and if you're paying an hourly rate times 168 hours, that could get pretty expensive. Whereas a live-in, you're paying a daily rate to the agency for the aide to be living in the home. You are required to provide room and board, so that's three meals a day and a roof, a private bedroom for them to sleep in. But you're only paying a daily rate. The agency does pay the aide on an hourly rate, and that's a federal law to protect live-in aides so that they're not overworked and that we are compensating for anything over 40 hours a week, which is overtime. I know it's a little complicated, so I don't want to get too much in the weeds on this, but just to explain to you that typically a live-in aide, you must have a good understanding with that agency. What does that mean? What is the schedule? A live-in aide typically will work anywhere from 10 to 13 hours a day. They must have breaks for their meals. They must have at least 8 hours to sleep at night. They're not considered on call. So what that might mean is if your parent in the middle of the night wants some assistance for them to go to the bathroom and they're calling them and wants to wake them up, well, then that becomes hours worked in addition to the regular schedule that's agreed upon. And it's just something to make sure you have a very good understanding before you hire a live-in. An agency may come to you and say, hey, this is affordable, don't worry, the aide will live with your mom and dad and they'll do whatever they want. Make sure that you have a written agreement between yourself and the aide and the agency as to what that live-in work schedule looks like and what costs you if it goes beyond that schedule and what your responsibilities are. So, how to protect your family when you're hiring an aide. Now, first of all, even though agencies will tell you they are bonded and insured, you still want to eliminate any chance or risk of theft. I would make sure all valuables are locked up. I would make sure any information with social security numbers or confidential information that could lead to identity theft is out of eyesight and also safely locked up. Heck, I would recommend that you do this for anyone, whether it's the bug guy or the plumber. Make sure the home is safe. Now, like I said before, I've hired over 500 aides, and knock on wood, I can only remember distinctly three of them ever being accused of stealing, and all three situations actually were unfounded. Two of those situations, the jewelry that was allegedly stolen was found. In fact, one case, the woman that we were caring for, her sister took her ring and was wearing it because our client told her she can, but our client has dementia and didn't remember that she told her to do that. And in the one case where the jewelry was not found, it was just considered lost. We did have the police come in and investigate it, and there was no theft found to be evident. Some homes will put cameras in the house so that they can keep an eye on the aid, and that's not a bad recommendation. Aides don't mind that. In fact, sometimes aides like that because then the family can see how good of a job that they do. Though we've never had a problem, any serious problems, again, we always tell our families to make sure that they stay on top of their parents in terms of what they keep in their home and what they tell an aide, what they share with them. We always tell them not to give them any cash, not to give them any credit cards, don't leave any checkbooks out. If they're going to go and run an errand, try to make arrangements where a payment is made in advance. I always tell families, you know, nowadays you can just order from grocery stores online and have them delivered. An aide doesn't even need to go out and buy things. I would make unannounced visits so they don't know when you're coming or going. I would ask the agency to do the same thing. It's really important that the aide knows that there is supervision in the home, even though they can't see it. The aide should never know when you're coming. A very good aide actually really doesn't care. And a good agency should constantly be making unannounced visits and reporting anything that they might see out of the ordinary to you. So how much does home care cost and who covers it? Unfortunately, most home care is private pay. You'll get a few hours paid by Medicare if a doctor prescribes it and it's related to a hospital discharge. But that only usually lasts a couple of weeks and it's only for a couple of hours a week. If a parent qualifies for Medicaid, which I highly recommend that everyone, regardless of your parents' status of wealth, you should look into Medicaid as a long-term care strategy backup plan. Medicaid does pay for home care. Of course, you must be qualified for Medicaid, and that typically means that your parent has spent most of their assets. Long-term care insurance does pay for home care. Not many people have long-term care insurance, and typically someone at your parents' age where you're having to get home care for them already, usually it would be very expensive for them to get long-term care insurance. I do recommend that you look into it, especially if your parent is currently healthy and active. You should speak to a broker about it, and you should even look at it and consider it for something for yourself. Fortunately, it has become quite expensive. There are different types to choose from. I'm not the expert in it. You certainly should speak to a broker and see if that's something that might be a good option for your parent or for you. I will tell you this, about 1/4 of my clients do have long-term care insurance, and of those that do have it, usually do get the best care because they can afford it. There are other sources for payment. The Veterans Administration, if your parent was a veteran, and they were a veteran and participated during an active war, and they financially fall under a certain guidelines, they may qualify for what they call a pension. It's actually called aid in attendance, and I'll leave you the link to that as well on the show notes. They may qualify for a pension that pays them every month that can go towards home care. Certain government entities might have some assistance. Again, it may not be a lot, but it might be some relief. For example, the county that we do business in has a respite care fund. It's not a lot, but if you qualify, certainly it can provide and pay for a few hours a week. One other area that you might want to consider calling if your parent might be showing early signs of dementia is the Alzheimer's Association. Again, it's not a lot of money, but they do offer some assistance. I would recommend that you would follow up with your local Alzheimer's chapter and see if your parent would qualify for any assistance to pay towards home care. You never know. It doesn't hurt to ask any of these resources. Home care, unfortunately, is expensive. And it's not like home care agencies are raking in the dough. It is expensive to hire and provide a home care. I mean, if you think about it, they have to pay for their compensation. employment taxes, workers' compensation benefits, and any other expenses that are associated with state and federal regulations like accreditation. And in addition to that, you have to have an RN on staff, and you have to have other individuals on staff to help you recruit, hire, train, and schedule caregivers. So it is expensive to run a home care agency, and it is expensive to hire a home care agency. The average cost across the nation, according to a Genworth Financial Survey in 2015, is about $20 an hour. The average monthly cost is about $4,000. Of course, this all varies depending on how much home care you're getting, whether there's upcharges for overnight and weekend rates, and whether or not you are using 24/7 or a live-in. I thought it'd be interesting just to share with you that the most expensive states to hire a home care agency and home care aide is North Dakota, which is around $27 an hour, Alaska, $26, Hawaii, Massachusetts, Minnesota, and Rhode Island, which is about $25. And the least expensive, you're lucky if you live in Louisiana and West Virginia, which is about $16 an hour. Wow, that's great. And then Alabama, Arkansas, Mississippi is $17 an hour. And Georgia, North Carolina, Tennessee is $18 an hour. Now, this was 2015. I imagine that some of these rates, of course, have gone up, unfortunately. Be sure, when it comes to costs, that you ask the agency for all the costs that are involved, all the small print. Is there an extra fee for the nurse? Typically, most agencies include the fee for the nurse in their rates, but there might be some extra charges for a nurse depending on certain circumstances. Is there a deposit required? Typically, agencies may charge 2 weeks in advance as a deposit. Is it 100% refundable? Is there a cancellation fee? What is the cancellation policy? Do they take credit cards? Is there an automatic electronic withdrawal from checking accounts option, which is very convenient for long-distance caregivers? What is the billing procedures, and are there any late payment fees? Now, I know this has probably become overwhelming, and we've covered a lot of ground. I did promise to cover just one other topic, and that is in a situation where you might be hiring somebody private or maybe even hiring a friend of the family or a family caregiver. Here are the pros and cons of hiring a family caregiver or a friend of the family. Now, the pros, the upside, is that they're probably trusted and known by the family, and that should help them be more comfortable, and it usually is more affordable. They may also show more care and compassion towards your parents, though I will tell you, some of the caregivers that work for my agency, they show some incredible compassion and care in dealing with their clients. So don't necessarily think that's the only way to get that kind of care. The downside, well, I've seen family conflicts come up, and that could really hurt some family dynamics. I've also seen where there's confusion around their roles and responsibilities and who's doing what and what they should be doing and what they shouldn't be doing and who do they report to. And if you're paying them, remember, you're the employer. Taxes and workers' compensation based on your state laws need to be taken out. And most long-term care insurance companies will not reimburse home care costs if the caregiver is anyone other than someone from a home care agency. Now, hiring a private aide is also affordable. Their rates typically are much lower than that of an agency's, and that's for the reasons that I gave you earlier. An agency has so many costs, whereas an independent private person is not paying for any of those costs. In other words, they're not insured or bonded. Workers' compensation is not being taken out. There are no taxes being taken out. Typically, that will lie on your shoulders as an employer. So again, based on your state laws, you need to be knowledgeable and make sure that you're doing the right thing. Hiring somebody private could be risky. You don't know anything about them. You should conduct a background check. You should be doing thorough researches on their references. What is their training? Usually they're not certified and they're not being supervised by a nurse. If something happens, like they have an accident or theft occurs, how will that be handled? If they don't show up to work or if they get sick, how will you replace them? I have had clients over time tell me that they know so-and-so has a private aide and it is so much less than what I am charging them. So I always tell them this story, and it usually ends the discussion. I tell them that if a private aide injures themselves while taking care of them, for example, if they have back pain or if they trip and break a bone, or I've even had cases where an arm gets pulled out of socket and the aide had to be out of work for 4 months. If this happens while they're caring for them and they're private, they're going to come after you for medical expenses. And whatever costs that you have saved because you paid privately versus an agency will get wiped out immediately if you have to be paying for medical expenses. So consider what you pay an agency as a peace of mind and insurance policy. I'm not saying never to hire private aid. I know there's a time and a place for that. I'm just saying be extra diligent in your evaluation of that option and know that you will need to closely manage the situation to make sure it's a good option. Here's my last piece of advice, and you've heard it before. If it's not urgent or it's not an emergency to hire a caregiver at this point in time, whether it's private or a home care agency, then be proactive. Start doing research now. Take your time and do the due diligence when and if the situation comes up that you have to hire a caregiver. That way, your head, your brain will work as equally as your heart, because this is an emotional process. And it's a stressful one, and it's a very important one. So, in order to make it the right decision, a good decision, good research will ensure you that you're picking the best option, the best agency, or the best caregiver to take care of your parent, which in the long run will help minimize the risk of any of those horror stories or any of the issues we talked about. So that's day 17. Join us for day 18 as we talk about another long-term care option, and that's adult daycare centers. Hey, thank you for listening to the Raising Rents podcast. If you have any questions or feedback, please go to our website, www.raisingrents.com, and click on the contact tab. Let us know about any topics you want covered or any questions you may have. You'll also find all the show notes for every episode, including this one, and references to what we talked about on the website. Until we talk again, remember, our parents raised us. The least we can do is help raise them. Talk to you later.